Sheringham, and Solskjaer has done it! Leicester City have won the Premier League.
Scholes against Emil Heskey. Could it be five? Yes, it is!
Frank De Boer singing out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful!
Hello, welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lapp, and joining me this week are Anthony Kendrick.
Hello.
And Richard Hill-Hudson.
Good evening.
You sound a lot better this week.
I do, thank you.
How are you both doing this evening, lads?
Very good. Apart from United losing last night, but...
We'll get on to that in part two. Well. But I've got a few Football League and international stories to start us off. So, Wigan winger Ryan Colcroft had a night to remember on Tuesday when he scored two goals before being substituted in time to see the birth of his second child.
That's a good day.
Yeah. I saw that. He got a nod, didn't he, from his dad was in the crowd watching the game, and he sort of had a nod, like a signal to say that the baby was being born.
Yeah.
it's quite a funny story, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an amazing story. So what was unique about Luton midfielders Ollie Lee's stunner from inside his own half against Cambridge United?
It was a great goal. I don't know why it was unique.
Any guesses? No idea. It was claimed that it's the only example of a goal in the English league that was shot. The shot came from in one postcode and scored in another postcode.
Oh, I like that. Facts.
Pretty much down the middle of Kenilworth Road. One's LU1 and one is LU4. So we should, yeah.
I've got a question for you both then.
Okay.
Bit of a quiz one. Which football ground is the closest to the River Mersey?
Isn't that one of the ones that's in Cheshire because it starts in.
No, we're not close to it.
Prenton Park's not that far from it. So one of them, like, somewhere in Cheshire.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'll put you both out of your misery. Yeah. Stockport.
That's Stockport. I said Stockport.
Oh, yeah, because the Mersey Canal goes through, Learned two facts already listening to this podcast. Very educational.
Right, so Chris Coleman left his job as Wales manager to take over a pile of crap, according to Hero.
Somebody had to, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, do you think he's a bit gutted once the West Brom job came up like a couple of days later? Because he probably would have got that.
It's a strange one, isn't it? Because before Wales, he sort of had an average career. He'd not done much. So I know he obviously did a fantastic job with Wales, but it's hard to know what sort of level of coach he is. And I think it's a mistake to take on Sunderland. It's a very difficult job, and. Even if he keeps them in the division, that's not going to be seen as a good achievement, because Sunderland are the sort of club are going to be looking at getting back in the Premier League, and that's mission impossible. I don't think he can win. He might prove me wrong, get Sunderland promoted, but unless he does that, he's going to be seen as a failure. And I just think the Championship's too competitive, and they're not good enough, in my view.
Where are they in the Championship at the moment?
Bottom, aren't
they? Yeah, the bottom.
So the... Whatever he does, really, this season, they're not going up this season, are they?
No, but what I'm saying is I don't think Sunderland are going up any time soon. And by the time, even if Sunderland do go up in many years to come, that won't be with Coleman at the helm. He'll be sacked already, I think.
So depending on what paper you read, either Ryan Giggs or Thierry Henry are the Welsh's top target to replace him.
Craig Bellamy as well, I saw as pin linked. It'd be funny if Thierry Henry took over. I can't see it myself, but
he's the number two for Belgium, and so he could probably still do his punditry work whilst doing the Welsh job.
Belgium's a bit different though than Wales.
Gordon Strachan did it for ITV when he was the Scotland boss. He'd be a pundit for them, so I presume, and Roy Keane as well.
Yeah.
So I guess it's no obstacle.
Nice, and England have fallen below Italy, despite Italy failing to reach the World Cup in the latest rankings.
It's unfortunate, really. I guess the rankings are what they are, but maybe, do you have less precedence to friendlies or something? That's, Do we want an hour-long debate on the FIFA World Rankings? It's probably not the most exciting podcast.
I'm sure to go back and listen. I'm sure we did one a couple of years ago where I got the rules out and we tried to explain them.
I read something the other day in regards to, actually. I didn't fully understand it. I was on my lunch hour. But it was about how Poland had basically played the system so that they ended up in the top eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that a lot. You saw it at the last World Cup. I think it was someone like Switzerland or someone not very good managed to play the system to get seeded for a World Cup.
Well, so they got lots of victory.
Yeah, so they're in the top group because they basically worked out how to maximise the friendlies that they had.
Yeah. So you play like second level European teams, so you get decent amounts of points.
Because you get more points depending on the team you beat, and obviously England played the top two teams in the world rankings, so points, well, because it's two draws, it's not as many points as beating, I don't know, Scotland or whoever it was, Poland beat. Yeah. It kind of makes, I don't know, then you've got the question, what's the fairest way to do FIFA World Cup rankings? You do it based on previous performances in World Cups, or, you know...
Well, there's no point in having a world rankings if you're not going to use them, is there?
No, it's a difficult one to have the right system because, you know, the big countries just don't play each other enough. There's no fair way to do it, really. I think
whatever system you use, it's going to get open to abuse.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's impossible to have a great system for it. You know, on the face of it, England being 15th in the world, I think it's about right based on the current team. I get Italy being higher based on not qualifying for the World Cup's a bit crazy, but, you know, I don't think anyone would really argue England 15th best team in the world.
Yeah, it's about that. Yeah. The only ones that have Spain higher than they were.
Mm. Yeah, Germany is still top. Wales have dropped 5 places to 19th. Northern Ireland have fell 1 to 24. Scotland are down 3 to 32.
Yeah. Ireland also 32nd. It's a joint ranking.
Is it?
Yeah, they're both, because it's if it's rounded to the nearest point or something. Yeah, Scotland and Republic of Ireland got the same ranking in 32.
Republic of Ireland were in the article I read. They didn't mention the Republic.
Sorry.
Right, so in part 2 we'll be discussing all the Champions League action of the Premier League teams.
Well, can I just have a bit of quick news, actually?
Oh, okay.
That was announced today. They're going to be doing a study into dementia and football after the Alan Shearer programme the other night.
Yeah, I wish I watched it. I've recorded it. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
And I've mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast before about heading and, like, obviously over in the States, heading under 10 is banned. And they're looking at the impact that consistent heading of the ball has on possible brain damage and dementia in later life.
Well, we did a great interview with John Curtis last year.
Yes, we did, yeah.
They argued that they should just use a lighter ball because it's ruined the game over there. Not headering, because people are just kicking it high now. Rather than playing on the floor, they just kick it over the defence. So it's ruining the development of the players.
I think
irrespective of your view of whether young players, you know, kids should be heading the ball, there's obviously you can't argue against doing an in-depth study into the into the possible risks. I mean, you disagree with that?
Personally, for me, I know that Peter Bricket, that sometimes comes on the podcast, is a big advocate of, but I'd really recommend going all out with futsal at early ages.
Yeah.
Smaller, heavier balls that aren't going up into the air then. You know, the kids aren't able to head them because, you know, it's all on the ground, pass and move game.
When I play five-a-side, I play in a couple of different leagues, but I know in some five-a-side rules, you can't kick the ball over head high as well.
Yeah, I was using a lot of five-a-side.
That's the rule when I play.
Yeah, that's at an early age for kids.
Yeah, I don't like that rule when I play five-a-side, I must say. But, yeah, it's also an option.
You've always been a fan of the youth, though, haven't you?
Of what?
Of the youth game.
Yeah, of course I am, yeah. Yeah, you should see me by the side. There's not much technical ticky-tacker playing when I'm in the team.
You're like the old Peter Kay advert for John Smith's.
Habits. All right, so in part two, we'll be discussing all the Champions League action from all the British sides. But first, it's first rounds on the pitch. Hero is question master this week. So it should be fun for us.
Okay, so this week, I'm going to be giving you a series of footballer quotes.
All right, okay.
And you've got to take it in turns. I'll give you five each in each round to basically say who it was that came up with that quote.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, so the first one, this one, I'm going to throw out to Anthony to start. Some people believe football is a matter of life and death. I'm very disappointed with that attitude. I can assure you it is much, much more important than that.
That's a pretty famous quote, that.
Yeah.
what I'm going to say on these is if you guess it outright without options, you can have 2 points. If you need the options, it's 1 point.
It's Bill Shankly.
It is. Okay, Chris, you.
Yep.
I wouldn't say I was the best manager in the business, but I was in the top one.
Can I have options? I think I know who it is.
Okay, the options are Beckenbauer, Capello, Clough, and Van Gaal.
Clough?
It was Clough, yes. It sounds sort of like something that Van Gaal would also say as well.
Yeah.
I watched Damn United recently. That's a film I'd recommend if anyone's.
Yes, very, very good. Back to you, Anthony. I couldn't be more chuffed if I were a badger at the start of the mating season.
If I was a badger at the start of the mating season. I'm going to need options. I don't know that one. I've never heard that one. That's a great quote, though.
Was it Nigel Pearson, Gordon Strachan, Ian Holloway, or Roy Keane?
Ian Holloway, it's got to be, surely.
You're right.
Yeah.
So you're 3 points. You got to picture him doing it with that voice as well.
Yeah.
My dad sounds a lot like Ian Holloway. I'll get him on one day to say that quote.
Okay, back to you, Chris.
Yeah.
All this tippy-tappy stuff everybody keeps going on about as the right way to play football is all a load of bollocks.
Is that a Joey Barton quiz?
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
No. It was Big Sam.
Big Sam. I don't know. I didn't. When you were saying it, it was translating as a Scouse accent in my head.
Thanks for having a point. Okay, back to you, Anthony.
Okay.
I think in England, you eat too much sugar and meat and not enough vegetables. You're winning 3-2 at the moment, by the way.
I know. Yeah, because he had such an impact, didn't he, on players' diets. I'm going to take a bit of a pun. Arsene Wenger?
Correct. Wenger out with the broccoli.
Well, it was seen as like a big thing at the time, weren't it, to force the players to do dietary regimes and all that. And...
Well, they'll eat a steak before the match and then drink loads of pints after the match before you go.
Okay, back to you, Chris.
Yep.
What Carew does with an orange... what Carew does with a football, I can do with an orange.
Oh, I need options.
Was it Francesco Totti, Mario Balotelli, Samir Nasri, or Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Zlatan?
Of course, yeah. The one and only. So that's now 5-4.
You said...
You said 5 because you needed those.
Yeah.
Anthony, if you're in the penalty area and don't know what to do with the ball, put it in the net and we'll discuss the options later.
I don't know that. I need options, please.
Is it Harry Redknapp, Bob Paisley, Ron Atkinson, or Bobby Robson?
Say Harry Redknapp, but I've no idea. If it's right, it's a lucky guess.
No, it was Bob Paisley on that one. Letting you back into it now, Chris.
Yeah.
You get this right, you draw level. So I got Robbie Savage's mobile number and rang him. It went to his voicemail. Hi, it's Robbie. What's up? Bad. I never called him back. I thought, I can't be fucking signing that.
Okay,
Oh, so be a manager from the late 90s, early 2000s, I guess. Oh, neat clues, I can't think.
Was it Roy Keane, Neil Warnock, Mark Hughes, or Graham Souness?
Mark, Warnock, I'll go with.
It wasn't, it was Roy Keane.
Roy Keane. Do you want to sign for Sunderland or something?
It was, yes. For you to win it, Anthony.
Oh, gosh, pressure's on.
Football is a simple game. 22 men chase a ball for 90 minutes, and at the end, the Germans win.
No, I need options, please.
Okay. Well, you still would win if you get it with the options of being at 5-3 ahead.
Okay.
Chris Ball, Terry Butcher, Peter Shilton, Gary Lineker.
I can picture Gary Lineker saying, I'm going to go Gary Lineker.
You'd be right.
Oh.
So you're 6-3 ahead, but we'll just do the last one of this round.
Yeah.
Anyway, for Chris. I've never played for a draw in my life.
Jose Mourinho.
No, it was Alex Ferguson. Okay, so that's the end of the first round. Anthony wins that 1-6-3.
Congratulations, Anthony. So are we carrying the points over, or is he just won?
Yeah, we can do.
Okay.
No, it was good. I enjoyed that, actually. It was something different.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Ah, I'm sure if I thought the last one else a bit, I would have got that. But sounds like something Jose would say, though.
Yeah, after he's just parked the bus for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
That was the thing with Fergie, though. Even though there was games where the team weren't playing, even in the 93rd minute, they would still have a go at trying to score, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Stan Collymore, and you're listening to the BT Podcast.
Right, so we go on to, we'll start with Tuesday's Champions League action. So Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp said he had no problem with the mentality of his players, despite them losing a 3-0 lead to Sevilla.
Christian Ball too. they just fell apart second half, didn't they? Sevilla sort of came out, sort of fired up. Moreno had a shocker, and they got something out.
Moreno went back to old school Moreno, didn't he? Because he in fairness to him, he'd had a few games this season where he'd actually been all right.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then just went back to Popper Moreno.
I actually wanted him in the manager game on the forum at one point. But yeah, no, he was atrocious last night. I can't understand why James Milner's not playing at left-back instead, or why he didn't sign a left-back. But
he did. He bought Andrew Robertson, who's a cracking young player.
He is. Yeah.
He got an all young player of the year. Premier League Young 11, didn't he? Robinson.
Yeah. So. He's an absolutely great young left back. Why is he not getting. And then you look at the other side, and Joe Gomez, he's clearly giving him a chance, and he's doing well with it, managing to get an England cap last week from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's playing the younger players, giving them a go. Put Robinson in the team.
Yeah. No, it's strange that Moreno, he keeps putting his faith in Moreno. I don't know. And the only way I could see it working is if they move to wing-backs maybe and put him there. But he's a liability in defence. I mean, it's not like we're providing any great analysis here. If anyone can see it. And you see Jamie Carragher getting pretty pissed off on Sky every time it happens. And it's like... Yeah, it does. It does. It's not like... It's not like we're providing some sort of expert analysis. It's plain to see for anyone.
We've been saying for we've been saying since the podcast started, all they need is a good goalkeeper and two decent centre back.
Probably been saying about Arsenal since it started, needing a good defensive midfielder as well.
But it's so blatantly obvious of Liverpool, but they've had manager after manager after manager who just stick with them. The same players, or they just bring in just average defenders. So they added a half decent defence with that attack.
If they had say two good defenders, top centre back, top left back, they'd be in Premier League contention perhaps. They'd be certainly possibly second or third in the league.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, between sort of Mane and Salah going forward as options, with obviously Coutinho when he has a good game. The blend going forwards is one of the best up there. I wouldn't say individually that they're the best players, but as a collective, that strike unit all sort of sing off the same hymn sheet. But just defensively, it's to sort of quote Alan Hansen, it's absolute school ground defending.
Yeah, it's like nobody wants to take responsibility for the person they're marking. It's just like...
Yeah, but I don't know. A lot of very good teams use zonal marking and it works. It's just I think it's technically, individually, they're not good enough, rather than it being incorrect to use zonal marking. Mm. If you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to have trust in each of the other defenders with that system, and you have to be a decent defender to be able to do it, and they're just not of that calibre.
Yeah.
I listened to an interview of Ian Wright today, and he said, Martin Keown was there, you thought, oh, he had to say, stop him scoring, and he wouldn't like leave the player alone for the whole match.
Can I just say, credit to Liverpool, don't want to seem completely downer on them, but they're doing all right in the Premier League and they're scoring a lot of goals, and maybe not all doom and gloom. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. In the first half, they were 3-0 up against a side that hadn't lost at home, I think, is it something like 18 months?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have put 3 goals past that team and have such a pedigree in Europe over the recent years, and obviously beat them in the final of the Europa just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Now, that lies at a good half.
Yeah.
Take positives from that half and then work on what you did in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think it was just a complete lack of concentration in the second half? Or?
Maybe. Maybe the other thing, sort of like an Arsenal problem, is their almost refusal to shut up shop and keep going in a way. They didn't really sit back and absorb the pressure. They didn't really, you know, a lot of teams, you go goals up, you know, you still attack, but you do at least have a slightly more defensive mentality, and they didn't really. It was like, I don't know if anyone remembers Anderlecht playing Arsenal a couple of years ago and coming back, I think it was 3-4-0, or even the Newcastle v Arsenal 4-0-4-all.
Yeah.
And they just don't, at some point you've got to sit back and go a bit more defensive and have a bit more pragmatic look on the game, and there just isn't that strategy.
If Mourinho was in charge of that team, and even when it went 3-1, 3-2, do you think the opponents would have got an equaliser?
Probably not, no.
Yeah, they've been 10 men behind the ball.
And I just say as well, that group, Spartak Moscow can get a win on the, well, Spartak Moscow win on the last day, that puts Liverpool's spot in jeopardy. Because they'll be level on points, and then it goes down to the head-to-head record, and that puts Spartak Moscow above Liverpool, wouldn't it? Because they drew the first game, so they'd be out.
Yeah.
If they lose the last day.
Well, let's move on to Spurs seal the passage into the Champions League knockout phase by winning against Borussia Dortmund. After going 1-0 down.
Absolutely amazing.
When that group came out, I was like, they're going to struggle.
When that group came out, everyone thought that, Spurs are out. They can't play at home at Wembley. They're up against the best side in Europe and another side that's got such a great European pedigree in Dortmund. And they've topped the group with a game to spare.
Yeah.
Like, I know people have a go at the tabloid papers for having a bit of a love-in for Spurs. But no, I don't think the most ardent Spurs fan would have thought that was possible beforehand.
No, they've been absolutely brilliant in Europe. The two games against Real Madrid, I watched both of them. They were two great games to watch as well. And I really like watching Tottenham play. I've said it quite a few times on this show, but they're probably my favourite Premier League team to watch as a neutral. I love the way they pass their attacking football. It's great to watch. And I think, they might even be contenders. I don't think sides are going to fancy them on going to the knockout stages.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they could be this sort of regarded as this year's Monaco, and that's probably doing a disservice to them, really, because there's a fair bit more money
yeah.
in the club than what Monaco splashed on theirs.
they've done the reverse of Monaco, haven't they? Because Monaco have got 2 points in their group. Last season, obviously, Monaco did very well, and this season doing atrociously. And then last season, Tottenham do nothing, and this year, top their group.
Yeah. And I think people do Spurs a disservice with the whole Harry Kane team.
Definitely.
Like we mentioned it last week, Eriksen there is just fantastic as a player. But it's all the way through the squad. You've got two or three centre-backs there that are top draw. You've got Loris that a few people sort of have a go a bit at him, but there's not many better keepers out there. It's just that I think that the Premier League seems to have so many good keepers in it at the moment. It's all the way through that first team, it's a very good team.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
I think the only thing that goes against Spurs is just that mentality themselves of getting over the final hurdle. Yeah, they've not done it themselves as a team, and can they push themselves onto that next level? It is a big mental step for them.
I guess when you look at their Premier League form, they lost to Arsenal and United. There is definitely a question mark, and I think it's a reasonable question mark because they have choked on a few occasions, when they probably shouldn't have done. Everyone expected them to go to Arsenal, beat Arsenal, and they didn't.
Do you say though that when all the Daily Mail they did it, they got all the reporters to do a combined 11, and most of them were like 10 Spurs players and one Arsenal player. One of them did a full Spurs 11. He was getting loads of abuse after the game because Arsenal tweeted him.
And Arsenal went and won that game. But that's part of football.
Yeah.
On the day, a team could beat another team, and if Arsenal don't turn up for the game against Spurs nowadays, you'd wonder what on earth was going wrong at Arsenal.
Yeah. Yes, I think all the stats
beat Spurs the other week in a comeback. I'll probably get a bit of abuse from Arsenal fans on this, but it's probably your biggest game of your season nowadays.
Do you think had it been the other way round though, and Arsenal completely didn't turn up for this game against Spurs, we'd have been ripping into them a lot more?
I think people have just expected Arsenal not to turn up against Spurs nowadays.
No, but we have a go at Arsenal a lot on this podcast and generally on the media, and perhaps don't with Tottenham when it comes down to it. I mean, obviously, as we've said earlier, they've been fantastic in Champions League, but, they haven't turned up for the big games in the Premier League.
Yeah, well, that is that mental barrier. They're known as being bottlers.
I guess the fact Harry Kane was out for the United game, maybe that did have a big... And he clearly wasn't fit against Arsenal either. Maybe they are. I think they are a lot lesser a team without Harry Kane. I know they've got very good players, but I wouldn't go as far to say I agree with it, but I sympathise with it for sure.
I don't think Kane or Ali looked fully fit in that match. So, shall we move on to Man City? So Man City manager Pep Guardiola says he doesn't matter whose team will face in the last 16 of the Champions League after they sealed top spots with a narrow 1-0 victory over Feyenoord.
Completely agree. I think any side in Europe at the moment does not want to play Man City.
No.
I think, there's some good teams, very good teams, who are likely to finish second, like Bayern.
Real Madrid have.
It doesn't really matter. I think you get through the group stages almost. You just make sure you don't.
Man City's luck to get by.
Yeah, you just get through it, and then you worry about who you get. You get who you get, I suppose.
Yeah, I was listening to Sunday Supplements, and there was it Sunday Supplements or was it the debate? It was one of them. And they're saying that Man City's not getting the respect in the media they should be getting with how they're playing this season.
For me, they've been the best side I've seen since United 2007-2008 sort of era. For me, they've been ridiculously good, and I've not seen much criticism in the media.
They're not being reported on.
That's a fair comment. I think. I think these days people are wanting to pick holes almost. you know, I think, personally for me, the title race is done, and I said that in an earlier show. I think City are going to walk it by some distance, but that doesn't really sell a story, does it? How are Sky supposed to sell the Premier League if they say, oh, City are going to win? But that for me is what it is. City are going to win the Premier League. They're going to walk it. It's a scrap for second for me.
Going towards the end of the season, there'll be lots of, is this the greatest side ever? Comparing them to the Invincibles and the 08 team and Chelsea.
It's hard to compare to teams, for me, that I didn't properly see in the Invincibles and 2018. I'd definitely say they're better than the 2018. The Invincibles, I'm not so sure, but that's partly due to my lack of knowledge rather than...
I would say at this stage of the season, compared to the Invincibles at this stage of the season, City are better. Yeah. That's not to say City won't slip up at some point during the season. Yeah, they might go on an absolute nightmare like they did last season. This time last season, they were still top of the league by quite a distance. Possibly a lost one at that point. But Arsenal, when they had the Invincible season, yes, fantastic achievement. But they were lucky enough, quite a few games.
Just thinking about it, the only side I can think of which is clearly better than this City team is Barcelona in similar sort of era, I guess 2009-10, that sort of era. That's the only side I can think of that would beat this City side, definitely, for me. I don't know what you guys think.
There's been some great teams along the years, like the Real Madrid, sort of Galactico era was particularly good. The AC Milan team of the 80s, some of the Liverpool ones.
The Ajax team of the 90s.
Yeah, the 70s, 80s, Ajax one. It's very hard to compare the eras going through them, but I think you nailed it on the head earlier, actually, Anthony, when you said about the reason why the media aren't reporting on them that much, is that people nowadays do like to, however great a side is, they like to pick holes in whatever the weakest link is in a team or whatever. And at the moment, there just doesn't seem to be a weak link in City. There's no chink in the armour.
Well, you'd have said left back, but even with Mendy and the backup one, Danilo getting injured, Fabian Delph's playing like David Alaba.
Yeah. And like everyone loved last year to see John Stones be a comedy act at the back.
He's been ruled out for 6 weeks, and there's no mention of him on the back page of any paper this week.
But until then, he was outstanding. Otamendi, his form this season's been fantastic. And then you've got to give mention to just how good De Bruyne is.
Yeah.
I think we've known about him a few times already this, but he's just, words just don't describe how good he is this season.
It is. It's insane. It's like watching a Xavi or Pirlo or whoever, you know, whoever your Scholes or whatever. But he's been ridiculous. He's ripped apart teams like, you know, it's like when you see, you know, players like Gareth Bale or Luis Suarez or Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, have basically been a fulcrum of that team and lead them to success almost single-handedly, and that's how it feels with De Bruyne, despite him playing as a midfielder. It's been insane to watch how incredible he's played.
I've got a slightly City-related story. So, Rubinho's been sentenced to 9 years in prison for his part in a gang rape in 2013.
Yeah.
it's hard to comment, isn't it? It's obviously...
Yeah, it's only got released at 7 o'clock, so we haven't got many details on it.
It's obviously sick and vile what he's done, but having said that, you know, he's apparently going to appeal and there'll be all these further cases, so it's very hard to comment. If we say he's, you know, if we have a go at him, whatever, you know, for all we know, in a later appeal, it may came out he's innocent or whatever, so...
As it currently stands, he is guilty.
Yeah,
it's bad, isn't it? But
didn't he get accused when he played for City as well?
It was when he was at Milan, I believe, is when there was a case when he was at City. He did go to court, but he was found innocent in that one.
Mm.
This is one when he was at Milan, and it's very it's bad, but it's hard to say much, really, I think.
I'm sure more details will come out in the coming weeks. So.
Yeah.
Right, so, do we have to talk about this? But so, Jose Mourinho said United should have been 5 or 6 goals up in the first half of their match against Basel. United dominated the first half. This is the only match I saw the whole way through.
I didn't actually see the match, so I can't really comment on it. But I think United have to lose by a turnaround to make goals in the last game.
I think we have to lose 6-0.
Yeah, 6-0.
Yeah,
it's basically over. I think you know, it might have been better if it was mathematically officially over, because the game after our game against Moscow is the Manchester derby. So I think, you know, he would have preferred a true dead rubber, but it basically is. But I think it's more of a psychological thing. It'll be slightly playing at the back of their minds that they're not through. Mm. I think Mourinho will be pretty annoyed about that. But I watched it in the first half, hit the woodwork twice, did a lot. But, you know, fair play to Basel. They held it on and snatched a late winner. You know, I guess for United, I think even before that game, United would have still been in this situation. So I guess for them, it's still a dead rubber anyway, that Basel game was. So it's hard to get motivated. For Basel, it was a huge game, because them and Moscow are locked on 9 points each. So I guess you've got that aspect of one team having to win and United not really. It's not really mattering.
They've come a bit of a bogey side over the last couple of years, haven't they?
They've been a bogey side for a few British sides, haven't they?
Right, not. Do you want to just fly through these last two? So we've got Chelsea scored last 16 place with a 4-0 win in Azerbaijan, was it?
Yeah, they got a bit lucky with the red card.
I can never remember how to pronounce it. Karabag.
They were lucky with the red card. There was a red card and a penalty given pretty early on, which they definitely benefited from.
Yeah.
And then it was game over, really. But yeah, Atletico Madrid only drew against them, and that could cost them when it comes to this second place battle.
Who is it that Chelsea have got in the last game?
I haven't got it written down. Sorry.
Atletico, innit?
Right.
No, hang on. No, they've got Roma. Sorry, no, they've definitely got Roma.
Right.
Hang on. Sorry. Let me get this right.
They've got Atletico, I've just found out.
Okay, sorry. So Atletico need to win the last game against Chelsea to have any chance of going through, and if I remember rightly, their head-to-head record is inferior to Roma's. Roma and Atletico end up level on points, so they've got to win and just hope Roma lose to Karabag. Which is very unlikely to happen, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's not looking good for Atletico.
No, but they might. They think win the Europa League, I suppose. They'll be one of the favourites, and yeah.
And then Ceremonial goes to Everton.
Gotta be wondering then if Atletico don't make that second spot in that, is Griezmann on his way?
Maybe. I think it'd be a good way for Simeone to leave with the Europa League title, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Right, so, in the final part today, we'll be discussing Pulis being sacked and the retrospective banning of diving for ban. Oh, sorry. Retrospective diving bans. The first one's been implemented against Everton player Nias. Nias? You can't decide how it's pronounced.
You still can't decide, can you?
No. Right. But first is the final round on the pitch. So, here it.
Okay, so carrying on from where we left off, these are footballers' quotes. I'll go through each person. You get 2 points if you get it without the options, and 1 point if I have to give you the option, same as before.
Cool.
So, who is it to go first this time round?
Me.
I went first last time, I think.
Chris to go first, okay. Obviously, there's a language barrier. The majority of the lads speak Italian, but there's a few who don't.
Marley clues.
Okay, the options are Graham Lasso, Dennis Wise, Chris Sutton, or Joey Morris.
I thought it was a Chelsea thing. Dennis Wise?
Correct, 1 point.
I knew it was a Chelsea player, I just couldn't think it would.
If you, Anthony.
Okay.
Sometimes you look in a field and see a cow. You think it's a better cow than the one you see in your field.
I have heard that. Did you say these were players?
No, they could be managers.
Oh, right, sorry, I thought you said they were...
like another Ian Holloway quote.
No, sorry, I thought they were all players. It was Fergie, wasn't it?
It was. Do you know who it was in regards to?
Was it about Rooney wanting to leave?
It was, yes.
Yeah, I remember him coming out. That was a pretty emotional press conference.
Okay, back for you, Chris.
Yep.
I tried to watch the Tottenham match on television in my hotel yesterday, but I fell asleep.
Clue.
Was it Avram Grant, Alan Pardew, Harry Redknapp, or Arsene Wenger?
Redknapp?
No, it was Wenger again.
Wenger. Okay.
For you, Anthony. Charles Insomnia, Charles Inzogbia, Ben Arthur, Johan Kebabs, Ben Arthur, Johan Kebaya.
I know this one.
Oh my god, it was the Newcastle guy. He was that. What was his name? He was Newcastle manager for a bit and he was director of football and some.
I know this one. We talked about it on the show, like one of our dead early shows.
He was. I'll know it when the options come up, but. I'm going to need the options. I can't remember his name.
I think you'll get straight away. Alan Shearer, Joe Kinnear, Kevin Keegan, John Carver.
Joe Kinnear. That's annoying.
Thanks, I knew that one. So it won't be anyone in your vitals.
I think Johan Kabay has always been known since then as Johan Kabay.
That's what we called him for about 6 months on the early podcast.
Back to you, Anthony.
No, mate.
There's only two types of manager. Those who have been sacked and those who will be sacked in the future.
Tony Pulis.
Very apt for the moment, but unfortunately that's not the right answer. It was Howard Wilkinson.
Well, I need to start guessing outright because I'm well
Yes. For you, Anthony. Young players are like melons. Only when you open and taste the fruit are you...
Mourinho.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. Was it someone like Arjen Robben? Or he said it at Chelsea because he was criticised for not playing the young players. Can't remember who it was.
I think it was, yeah. Young players are like melons. Only when you open and taste the fruit are you 100% sure that it's good. Sometimes you have beautiful melons, but they don't taste good. Other times they're ugly, but the taste is fantastic.
I remember reading it in The Sun. I was in the supermarket, I was reading it on the back page of The Sun, and it made me burst out laughing. And I got,
So any chance of me winning? Because I thought he's 7 points ahead.
No.
Oh.
Yes, it's true. I underwent a hair transplant. I think the results are pretty cool, don't you?
Rooney?
No. Oh. It was Klopp. I just thought it was Conte. There's one for Anthony. I told him Newcastle was nearer to London than Middlesbrough, and he believed me.
I told him Middlesbrough was close. Sorry, can you repeat the quote?
Yeah. I told him Newcastle was nearer to London than Middlesbrough, and he believed me.
Alright, Mike Ashley, trying to sign a player. I don't know that one.
In the right ballpark, it was Kevin Keegan convincing Rob Lee to join Newcastle.
I can't think of another reason why that would be a moot point. I just presumed it would be Newcastle signing a player.
The last one, just for pride. Your love makes me strong, your hate makes me unstoppable.
Balotelli.
No, he's a player with an even bigger ego than that.
Zlatan.
I'd say even bigger than Zlatan. Ronaldo.
I'm not doing great,
guys. I think that one.
Yeah, he smashed me. Yeah. Not doing very well on these quizzes.
You need to be quizmaster again.
Congratulations, Anthony. You'll get revenge
with a championship-based one next week.
No, that was a good quiz, actually. Enjoyed that.
Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2
Pulis has been sacked as West Brom manager.
They just need to hire a manager who's going to, like, you know, keep them up, sort out the defence, and yeah, and no,
like,
he's
like
got
for like.
Big, go on, sorry.
I was going to say they're going to be they put Gary Megson in temporary charge.
Yeah.
What I hope happens with West Brom is that they bring in a manager who, you know, Kevin Keegan like, who goes to attack every single game. Oh, the fans love the style of football, and they go down.
Well, look at Sir Martin is.
Yeah.
I think it's it's one of them, isn't it? It's really he got the results for a while. I still think he would have kept them up. However, as a West Brom fan, I mean, you've got to feel sorry for them having to watch Tony Pulis football every week. But yeah,
well, more efficient in that style of football.
When the new guy comes in, at least he knows they'll be well versed in defence. So he just needs to try and get Rondon, Phillips, Morrison to be a bit more creative up front.
Yeah. No, I do think they could be a decent side. I mean, the problem is,
unfortunately, my Skype decided to stop working at this part of the podcast. We've decided to put an article up on the website about the retrospective driving ban, so look out for that. So apologies, I was really looking forward to that discussion. We'll talk about it at a later date. But if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at V2Football, and check out our website at v2football.com. And thanks for listening, and good night.